This is the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best tips and strategies in the world to help you become a smarter, more effective tennis player. You'll hear interviews with Pro Tour doubles players and coaches, including easy-to-use lessons to improve your game and win more matches. My name is Will Bocek, founder of the Tennis Tribe, doubles strategy coach, and host of the show. Today's episode is a conversation from Toronto at the Canadian Open with Sania Mirza and Hanlon Walsh, one of our doubles writers who was in Toronto with me. And if you don't know Sania and you're a doubles fan, you probably should. Sania is a six-time Grand Slam doubles champion. She's one of the best WTA doubles players of the last 10 to 15 years. And she used to be a great singles player as well. I believe she was in the top 20. And she's really an icon in India where she's from. She has almost as many Twitter followers and Instagram followers as Serena Williams, to give you some perspective. So in this conversation, I ask her a couple of strategy questions. It's a very brief conversation because she's so busy. She only had about 10 minutes or so to sit down with us. But I ask her, what's it like playing with singles players versus doubles players? So at the Canadian Open, she was playing with Madison Keys, and they did knock out the top seeds, Veronika Kudermetova and Elise Mertens, in the tournament, which was a fantastic match that I got to watch. Hanlon asked her about her career, playing with Martina Hingis, things like that. I also touch on mixed versus women's double strategy and a few other topics as well. So this is a really fun conversation, very short, kind of brief episode. But I think you will enjoy it and get a lot out of it. And definitely, if you get a chance to watch Sania, she mentioned retirement, so she might be retiring in the next year or so. We will see. But if you get a chance to watch her, definitely do so, because she is a fantastic player. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, I have Sania Mirza on, a six-time Grand Slam doubles champion. Sania, welcome.
Thank you.
So I wanted to start, I was doing my basic research before we chatted with you, and Serena Williams has 11 million Twitter followers, and you're just behind her at 9 million.
Am I?
So that tells me that India must really love their doubles.
Yeah, and I think they really love their stars, really, and we're lucky we come from a country of 1.2 billion people.
So yeah, that helps as well.
The numbers, but no, I think that we obviously have been really good in doubles, but with Leander and Mahesh obviously being number one in the world a bunch of years ago, but to have a woman over there, I think was very exciting, obviously, and I get a lot of love from my country.
Yeah, awesome. So you're here in Toronto. You just knocked out the number one seed yesterday in a very competitive match, and you're playing with Madison Keys. I wanted to ask, what's it like playing with Madison, since she's more of a singles player? And then just in general, what's it like playing with singles players versus someone? Are you coaching a little more?
No, I'm not. But the thing is, first of all, it was the last minute thing because Lucy got hurt in Washington, who I was supposed to play with. And then we obviously had to, I asked Madison, I was like, hey, look, do you want to play? And she was like, okay. I mean, we're good friends as well. So I was like, oh, come on, play with me before I retire. Let's play 1 week at least. That was one. And then secondly, obviously playing a high level of singles for a bunch of years of my life, I kind of get that singles mentality on the doubles court, I think. So it's pretty simple-ish for me to understand, why she is standing in the corner and not taking the middle. I get it because I've obviously played a number of years of singles for a long time.
Yeah.
She's really cool. She'll, ask. I mean, she hits the ball so big, it really doesn't matter what else she's doing.
Yeah.
She's when she smacks it, it stays hit. And, with the fast balls, a couple of points yesterday, on set point, the backhand line. I don't know how much you guys watched, but stuff like that. I mean, it's great to watch, and she's young. I've known her for a long time. So we're not really coaching, but yeah, I mean, she does ask me. Obviously, I am older than her, and I've had a little bit more experience in doubles. So. Yes.
You've had a lot of great partners throughout your career, but I think the one that sticks out to me is Martina Hingis and the run that y'all had from, you know, 2015 to 2016. What was that experience like playing with Hingis during that time?
Well, I think by far we both say this to about each other, that we were each other's best partners. I mean, we cannot not say that. We didn't lose a match for like 6 months, I think, starting U.S. Open in 2015 to like March of 2016. That's basically 6 months of like 40 plus matches. I mean, it was, you know, the things we were able to achieve with each other was more than we could have imagined, I'll be honest. I mean, nobody thinks that you're not going to lose for 42 matches or 43 matches in a row. Like, that's just not something that that's not really a goal of anybody's, you know. But we were able to, like, push our limits and get the best out of each other on the court. And I think that before she retired that first time, like, we played a lot of singles matches against each other. And, you know, we always had really good matches, like, regardless of who won. I think it was like 3-2. I don't know what the score is between us, but like, we had some great matches, three sets in LA, Dubai, you know, Seoul, like, we played everywhere. And it was obviously great to have her on my side, because like, the way she sees the court is probably the best person that I've ever played with. I mean, she just knows where the ball is going to come before the ball is actually hit. And her, obviously that's her biggest strength, and the understanding of the court is just incredible. And with, because she doesn't have that much power, she obviously makes up with that anticipation that she has, you know. And I think just together under pressure, we were really, really good. And that's why we were winning so much, to be honest.
Talk a little bit about mixed doubles. You have three Grand Slams in mixed as well. How does your strategy or mindset change, if at all, from women's to mixed doubles?
It doesn't really change, but I mean, it's a little different because obviously there's shorter points in mixed, and my biggest strength is my return. And I think maybe that's why I've had, you know, decent success in mixed, because I'm able to return the guy's serve, you know, which is probably the hardest part about mixed, is when you're playing guys who are serving over 200 and you're like, kind of. So, like, I find it hard to play guys who are lefty and, like, are, you know, like, faking their toss because, like, you know. So, for me,
I think everyone has trouble with that,
I know. But, like, I hate that. Like, when they fake the toss, like, it's just because that's where I kind of read the serve, you know. So, but I think that, like, I just feel that I don't really change how I play. I just feel like it's a little bit – the dynamic is just a little different. You're not into, like – 10 ball cross court rallies, right? I mean, that's not happening in mixed. So,
who has been some of your toughest doubles opponents over the years? Whether it's a team that sticks out or a few players that you've played with, and, you know, several matches.
I think I think probably Vesnina Makarova were one of them, and Bethany Maddox-Sands and Safarova. I think it was the three of us were always kind of fighting for that top spot as a team. And we've played a lot of, like, you know, we played the Wimbledon final against Vesnina Makarova. And, like, and obviously at that time, Lucy and Andy, I guess, Lavachkova, Radetska, they were a really top team. We remember playing one final against them. So I think these were the three or four teams. It's tough to name one.
Yeah, and you played several times with Vesnina Maddox-Sands also on the same side of the
exactly.
court.
Exactly. So, like, it was just... It's so hard for me to say, okay, this was the toughest. But, like, I mean, these teams were the ones that obviously, I think stood out.
So a strategy question here. Do you feel like when you're out on the court, is it more important for you to attack an opponent's weakness or play to your own strength?
Both. I mean, of course, at the end of the day, if you're not doing your basics and your strengths well enough, it doesn't matter, because everybody's a good enough tennis player. Nobody has that big weakness that if you're not going to play to your strength, that their weakness is just their weakness, quote unquote, is just going to break down. Like, I mean, you know, we're not in that stage. We're the best tennis players in the world. So obviously everybody knows how to hit a forehand and backhand. It's just who misses like one extra forehand or one extra backhand at a certain point of time or under pressure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But so I think it's a both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to obviously understand what the opponent's weakness is, but like still kind of be true to yourself on the other side of the net and mm-hmm. still try to, you know, play to your strength as well.
Let me try to ask that in a different way as well. So if it's a big, let's say it's a big no-add point, right, and you're serving, and I don't know what serve you prefer, if it's wide or tee or whatever.
I can't tell you on podcast. I'm still playing. I'll tell you after I retire.
Okay.
Okay.
We might have to come back to this question. But let's assume that it's the wide serve in the deuce court.
Right.
But the opponent has a really strong forehand return, so it's better to serve tee to them. On that deuce point, do you decide to, I'm going with my strength regardless, or...
It just depends. There's nobody, like if I'm playing Madison Keys, I'm not going to her forehand, right? I mean, like, I'm
that's too strong.
Yeah, like, because that's just, yeah. I mean, like if somebody's playing me, why would they want to go to my forehand? I mean, that's not something that, you know, so I mean, I think that what happens is that under pressure, the weakness that you have, any tennis player, has a tendency of breaking down more, right? So like in a general ball, like somebody will hit a great forehand, but that's probably not their best shot. But on a deuce point at 5-all, if that's going to decide, you know, who's going to serve for the match, then, you know, you got to go to their weakness because hopefully your serve is not that bad on the tee.
Got it. Okay. That's the answer I was looking for. Thank you. Okay. I know you need to run in a few. Let's do two more questions.
Are there any players, whether in women's doubles or mixed doubles, who you haven't gotten to play with yet that you would like to?
Wait, like on the same side?
On the same side, yep.
Oh, there's so many.
Who would be your dream mixed doubles partner and women's doubles partner?
My dream mixed doubles partner? Well, I've actually played mixed with Roger. I was going to say Roger, but I've played a league mixed. Maybe Andy Murray? Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and I played against him, though, at the Olympics
in
2016.
And Laura Robson.
Yeah. No, not Laura and him. We beat them, him and Heather.
Oh, that's right.
We beat them
in
Rio.
So,
Yeah. They won the medal in London. So probably Andy. And in women's doubles, I mean, I'm going to go with Serena.
Yeah. you guys would be a good team.
It's a timely choice. So last question, how do we make doubles more popular?
Well, I think there's a bunch of things that need to be done. First of all, there needs to be a lot more publicity around doubles. That's the first thing that needs to happen. Like when you go to a tournament and you see banners of players, there needs to be banners of the top doubles players too, just the way there's like 16 seeds, then there's got to be at least 4 of the top teams, you know? So that's one. I think that people see, I mean, the two matches we've played, we've had a full crowd, you know? So obviously people like to watch doubles and because they like to play doubles because most people in the world play doubles, you know, they don't really go and grind 3 hour of singles like in a club, like in the morning, they go and play doubles. So they connect with that more anyway. Secondly, I think it is important to have doubles matches on big courts on prime time. I'm not saying take it away from a singles match at 7 p.m., but like, sure, have a doubles match. And some tournaments do it, you know, and they get great crowds for it.
Right.
I mean, Martina and I, when we played, we had full packed crowds almost everywhere we played, and we played on big courts a lot of the times. And that shows you because at that time, doubles was really popular for those few years. When all these top girls were playing, you know? So I think it's important to like keep, and it's not a 1 week or a 2 week process. It is a process that's going to take a few years, but like you got to do it. It's the same thing that people talk about. Are we going to promote just the top 3 people in the singles or are we going to promote the 20, you know? Because what happens when those top 3 retire? Like what's going to happen? It's going to be a void. So it's the same way.
Yeah.
So it's going to take time. And I think obviously more on TV, right? I mean, TV time. I think Tennis TV does a pretty decent job with showing at least the later stage of doubles. But like you got to show some doubles because people want to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Yeah. I have 100 other questions I'd love to ask you, but I know you need to run. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome. That was fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
If you're a doubles player, you'll love our weekly strategy newsletter. Every Thursday, I send you my best doubles tips, tactics, and strategies that you can use in your very next match. And when you sign up, I'll also send you a free 20-page ebook that has my favorite doubles tactics for forcing errors and getting more easy volleys at the net. Go to thetennistribe.com/newsletter to sign up now.